invite you to turn to the book of James, chapter 5, begin with verse 1. James, chapter 5, begin with verse 1. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourself in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered innocent men who are not opposing you. Well, we continue in our book of James. I don't know about you, but as I've been preaching this, I feel like there's been no time to exhale. It seems like the book of James goes from one subject to the next subject to the next subject. And it feels like as each time as I study the book of James, I feel like I'm taking a big bite every week. And for some of you, you may have indigestion of the soul. This week is amped up. Feel like your toes are being stepped on every Sunday. And I think that's a little bit what James is all about. And also the tone of James. I mean, many times we're taught in seminary, like when we preach, to preach the tone of the text. And so the tone of James has a little edge to it. And so James continues to deal with challenges of our everyday life. In Proverbs 62:10, it says, if riches increase, set not your heart upon them. Let me ask you a question this morning. What financial level are you satisfied with? When is enough enough? John D. Rockefeller was posed that question, and he answered it, one more dollar. And when he died, his personal accountant was asked how much money he left behind. And he answered, absolutely everything. So today I want to have an honest conversation with you. Not that we don't always have honest conversations. As we look at this text and the tone and the toes that are being stepped on, you may wonder, does this text apply to me? Because whenever we look at these kind of subjects, money, and the thing I like about doing books of the Bible is I'm not pulling things out, just going right through the text, and whatever it has in my hands that week is what I preach on. But so many times we look to our left and our right to compare about when we hear rich and we hear money and what that looks like. But if we're truthful, many of us, most of us, are pretty well off in the world's standards. And many times we hear the word rich, and it was in here the first, right off the bat, talk about you rich people. Now, if you're not rich, you can just tune out, because it doesn't apply to you. You can just step aside, take a nap. But when the Bible talks about materialism, it's not about how much money you have. It's not how many cars, not how many clothes you have in the closet. Some of God's choicest servants were wealthy. But materialism is concerned about the mindset that you have. Not the amount that you have, but the perspective of the amount that you have. And what I want to say this morning is this, that this wrong attitude can be in people who are poor, certainly people who are rich, and definitely for those somewhere in the middle. Where you are concerned more about what gold can do for you than what God can do for you. And so when he starts off in this verse, 1, come you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Apparently James has the context of business owners and others who were doing things with their money. And his context was that your net worth is going to be worthless. Now when he said that, at that moment in time to people, they did not realize that just 10 years later, after James wrote this, that Jerusalem would fall to the Romans and all of their accumulated wealth was going to be taken from them. And so James says, wail and howl, for wealth is not lasting. Whatever one accumulates deteriorates. That it's not about the wealth that we have, but whether what we hold in our hands does not get to our hearts. And he gives these examples of certain things. He says, their garments become moth-eaten. Now see, I grew up in that moth world. I remember as a little child growing up and opening up this chest. And opened it up, it reeked of mothballs. You remember that? Remember that, mothballs? It reeked of mothballs. And the reason the mothballs were in there is to keep the moths away so it would not destroy your garments. But he's talking about that this wealth is not lasting. He said your gold and silver will corrode. Now we know that gold doesn't corrode, really. But he's talking about it will corrode in the fact that it will at one point have no worth. Then he goes on, he says, it will eat your flesh like fire. And he throws these images at us. And he says something about the poison of wealth, of the things that we hold with our hands, that gets to our hearts, that infects us, that we are being eaten alive by our own money, storing up things for ourselves. And we've had a little mouse problem at our house. It's driving me crazy. Okay? Maybe you guys don't have that, but we have it at our house. And so each week, for weeks now, I have been putting out mouse bait. Now the thing about mouse bait is this. 90-some percent of mouse bait is good. But it's the other 10% that's deadly. And when he says, we'll eat your flesh like fire, I'm reminded a little bit of like a mouse who takes the bait. It seems good, and the more they just eat and eat and eat, and pretty soon that poison, they don't even know it, is consuming them inside and eats their flesh. And what James is wanting us to know, and what he told the people at that time is this, that yes, you have assets. But if you aren't careful, your assets can become liabilities and they shift on the balance sheet of life. Then he gives four descriptions. He says, wail and howl for the way you are living. Four descriptions are given. He was one to the business owners and those who were in business. He says, you're holding back the wages. Now back in James' time, you didn't get a paycheck once a week or once a month. You got a paycheck daily. You did work that day, and the business owner came out and paid you. But James knows, and others know, that there's times where they wouldn't pay him, or pay him very little for what they did. And James is saying that if you hold back their wages, he says, you think that maybe you're getting ahead, but here's the thing, he said. He says, the cries of the workers are getting into the ears of the Lord. They're being heard. Now, I know that many of us aren't business owners, so we can just fly right by this. It doesn't really apply to us. Except, let me give you one small example. How many people have ever gone out to eat in their lives? When you go into a restaurant, and here's the thing I tell people. If you go into a restaurant and you can't afford to tip, then you can't afford to go out to eat. Because that is their wage. That is what they earn. And so if you think that you can be shrewd and not giving them that much, I think in that way, in that small way, is an example of the cries of the people that are serving us are being heard by the Lord. And you say, oh, Lynn, you're over-exaggerating this. Well, I don't know. The second thing he talks about, we're living in luxury. He is cautioning us about the accumulation of wealth. He's not condemning wealth. But he says if accumulation of your wealth is not tied to something bigger than yourself, then he is condemning wealth. Where's your motivation? Is your treasure for treasure's sake? Is it only to help yourselves? Now, he's not saying, and we read other parts in the Bible, he's not saying that we shouldn't be saving. He's not saying that we shouldn't care for our children. He's not saying that we shouldn't care for retirement. No, those things are good. But when it becomes all about us, and it doesn't matter whether you're poor or middle class or wealthy, that same attitude can penetrate in all of those groups. And then he goes on this image. He says that you living in luxury makes themselves fat. Have you ever been to a pig farm? One of Dawn's relatives had a pig farm. And I love going to that pig farm and watching those pigs. You know, those pigs live for one thing. What do they live for? To eat. And there they were. As soon as that food came out, these pigs come out and they just start eating and eating, and they will keep eating and eating and eating. And these pigs are fatting themselves up for what? For the slaughter. And James says, in the same way, if we keep feeding ourselves and everything comes to us and we want things and all this come, and we are just fatting ourselves up for the slaughter. Now see, when we talk about money, we talk about these issues, I know we tend to default. The reason I know that is because I default. I default to legalism, right? I default to legalism. I start putting legalism into how much I can spend on a car, how much I can spend on a house. Is this sin? Is this not sin? How much is it? And when we do that, when we default to legalism, we have missed the point. Not about the money. It's about the heart and being self-centered. Then he goes on, he says, they condemn and kill. And he's referring to these situations where things are happening, that people are being condemned and killed, that the rich and the powerful are failing to practice even basic justice to people. And James is saying, God is not deaf to the cries of the innocent and of the abused. Well, there was a man who had two calves. These were prize-winning calves. One had a blue stripe and one had a yellow stripe. And these calves were worth thousands of dollars. And the man came home and he said to his wife, he says, honey, we have been blessed by the Lord by these two calves. He says, I'm going to honor the Lord, and here's what I'm going to do. The blue calf is going to be ours. Whatever money we make out of that blue calf, we're going to keep. He said, now the yellow striped calf, we're going to give that to the Lord. And so whatever money gets produced by that calf, we are going to give it to the Lord. And the wife says, oh, that's a great idea. Well, several weeks later, the man came back into the house to see his wife. And he was sort of down in the mouth, and he was just sort of not doing very well. And he says, honey, honey, the Lord's calf has died. Have you ever noticed how the Lord's calf is the one that always dies? Whether this calf gives what we give to the Lord or what we give to someone else. Have you ever noticed that the Lord's money is the one that gets left out? Have you ever noticed that time or time and our resources, it was the Lord's calf. And that one has died. Have you ever noticed that whenever things happen, when money gets tight in our lives, sorry, honey. Sorry, God. Your calf died. You see, one of the things about materialism is this. That one of the indicators of materialism is when we have excessive long-term debt. One indicator of materialism is when we play God. We cannot give to the Lord because of the debt, then you're a materialist. Now, Dawn and I had one of these aha moments. I probably told this story before, but one of these aha moments that have been so impactful in our lives. And it was 25 years ago. We were young married couple. And we were sitting in a science school class, like you were sitting in a science school class here. It was young married, and some had was starting to have a few children, but this young married class. And we got on the subject of tithing and money. And you know how those subjects go. You know, no one really likes talking about it. But I will give credit to this one couple. Because this one couple said something that forever changed Dawn and I's life. Because it made us stop in our tracks and to think about what that young woman said. Now, we knew this family. We knew this couple fairly well. They both drove very nice cars. And she was coming in and she was lamenting and she had been talking about for weeks about this brand new house that she was building. And then when this subject of tithing came up, she just had an honest moment with us as a Sunday school class. And she said this. She goes, there is no way, there's absolutely no way that we can afford to tithe. I loved her honesty. Can I say that again? I loved her honesty. We went home that day, and Dawn and I kind of talked about that. And we talked about whether the Lord's calf has died in our home. I mean, we're young. I mean, money's tight. You want to get ahead. I thank that woman that day because she was being honest that the Lord's calf had died in her life. But the calf, the one with the blue stripe, was alive and well and being fed quite well. So many times, this subject is so raw. It's so hard to even preach about because it hits us in places that we don't even want to go. Oh yeah, we hear about these kind of things. And James says it, and he calls us rich and wail and how and being rich. And yeah, it doesn't really apply to us. And it applies to the person over there that has one more dollar than we do. our priorities hit a crossroad between gold and God. Who wins out? Here's a couple takeaways. I would say the first one is this, that we need to be honest and fair in our business dealings. God is not blind to our business practices. And whether that's whether you own a business or you do business in other ways, He knows all your thoughts and your actions, and He takes what you do very seriously. And secondly, I would say this, don't be drawn away from God by pursuing wealth. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, 9, and the following says this, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now, if you notice in that passage the word desire, that's where my struggle is. My struggle is in the desire, because I have all kinds of desires. And that's the thing that I have to keep fighting at, have to keep thinking about. And one of the ways that I have tried to work at this in my own life is this, to pray for an increased desire for God. Because if I have an increased desire for God, then maybe I have a decreased desire for self. My mother had a saying, as I reached for my favorite strawberry licorice in the pantry before dinner, she would say, Lynn, do not eat that. It will spoil your appetite. I'm not saying that we should not work hard and even seek to be successful in business or at work. We should. But we should not have is an unhealthy obsession with our checkbooks, with our retirement funds, with our properties, and our toys. You see, what I've discovered is this. Because I've dealt with is this. They have the potential to spoil our appetite for God. Doesn't have to, but it can. I think James, if he would sum this all up, would say this. Your net worth, which is a big buzzword today, is worthless unless your net worth is eternal driven. I can tell you one thing. I'm glad this sermon is over. And that might be giving you indigestion of the soul. I don't think Rolaids and that will do. But I think what we'll do is having an honest and serious conversation with God. And say, God, I'm dealing with desires. I want my appetite that is there so often, my appetite that goes for other things that seem like it satisfies like licorice for a little bit of time. Lord, I want my appetite to increase for you. And when it increases for you, it will decrease for me. And so James would say, your net worth is worthless unless your net worth is eternal driven.